Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Noor Rahm. Authorities in Indonesia say at least 125 people are dead after a riot at a soccer match in East Java last night led to a stampede. NPR's Michael Sullivan reports.
East Java Police Chief Nico Afinta told reporters most of the dead were either trampled or suffocated in a rush for the exits after police fired tear gas at rioting fans who taken to the field after the home team lost. Violent clashes at soccer matches aren't uncommon in Indonesia. In addition to the dead, police say more than 100 people were injured.
Michael Sullivan reporting. The death toll continues to rise in Florida, hit by a major earthquake or hurricane last week. Officials now confirm that at least 47 people died. The search continues for those who may be trapped in flooded homes. Kevin Ruane is the Lee County Commissioner and the former mayor of Sanibel. He told CNN destruction was extensive, so recovery will take a while.
The rebuilding phase is going to take a long time. We recognize that, and obviously you're at ground zero of the storm. The decimation in Fort Myers Beach, as the mayor of Sanibel, or prior mayor of Sanibel, we work very closely in the beach communities trying to help and do exactly what we can for our communities.
Hurricane Ian was a Category 4 storm when it slammed into Florida last week. Emily Beck and another woman chose to ride out the storm in their home in Bonita Springs. She said it was very scary as the floodwaters quickly rose.
We both thought that we were going to drown in the house. When we couldn't get the door open, I think we both came to terms with we're going to die in this house.
Hundreds of thousands of people are still without electrical service. Ian also struck South Carolina Friday. Voting is underway in Brazil's presidential election. Right-wing incumbent Jair Bolsonaro is trying to win a second four-year term. NPR's John Otis has more.
President Jair Bolsonaro has had a rough 4 years in office. He downplayed the COVID pandemic, and Brazil ended up with the second highest COVID death toll in the world after the U.S. In addition, he's dealing with high inflation and unemployment. That's provided an opening for Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. He's revered by many Brazilians because when he served as president between 2003 and 2010, he oversaw an economic boom that lifted millions out of poverty. Polls give da Silva a double-digit lead, but Bolsonaro has questioned Brazil's voting system and has suggested he might not accept the results if he loses. If no candidate gets more than 50% of the ballots today, the two top vote-getters will meet for a runoff on October 30th. John Otis, NPR News, São Paulo, Brazil.
This is NPR News from Washington. The International Atomic Energy Agency is calling for the release of the director general of the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant in Ukraine. He had been stopped by a Russian patrol Friday and taken away. His whereabouts are unknown. The head of the UN's nuclear watchdog says his detention has a very serious impact on nuclear safety. Pope Francis dedicated his Sunday noon address to Ukraine, calling directly on Russian President Vladimir Putin to end a war that carries what the Pope said is the absurd risk of nuclear escalation. NPR's Sylvia Pagioli reports.
Pope Francis spoke to a crowd of thousands in St. Peter's Square.
Il mio appello si rivolge innanzitutto al presidente della Federazione Russa.
My appeal goes above all to the president of the Russian Federation, Francis said, begging him to stop this spiral of violence and death, even out of love for his own people. Francis described his pain over the rivers of blood and tears that have been shed these last few months and over the uncontrollable global consequences of nuclear escalation.
E che dire del fatto che l'umanità si trova nuovamente?
Nuclear threat. It is absurd. He also appealed to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to be open to a serious peace proposal. Sylvia Podroli, NPR News, Rome.
Labor unrest continues in Britain. Thousands of people have demonstrated against a cost-of-living crisis in at least 50 cities across the UK. Workers say their pay is too low considering inflation and soaring energy costs. I'm Noor Rahm, NPR News in Washington.